This is now the time for the baptism talk to be given for those who have recently dedicated themselves to Jehovah God. This is really a heartwarming occasion for all of us to welcome in new ones to the flock. Brother Ken Morgan of the Woodvale congregation will develop the theme, Give Your Heart to Jehovah. Brother Morgan, please.
We're very glad to have you with us here today. And we want you to know that there's no need to be nervous because you're here with your friends. And so, brothers and sisters, would you like to join me in expressing a warm welcome to our baptismal candidate this morning? And so you hear that. Everyone is very happy for you this morning. And really, the happiness here is just a small sampling of the happiness and joy that exists in heaven right now. Just imagine the applause of the angels. And then imagine the joy that Jesus himself feels when someone just like yourself comes to join this congregation and to serve Jehovah. You know, Jesus said that no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So imagine the joy that Jehovah has today seeing you sitting here like this. Jehovah has seen something special in your heart, and you've responded. And you've responded wholeheartedly, just like Jesus did. When we go back to the time when Jesus got baptized, he made a wholehearted dedication to Jehovah. And no one else can make this decision for you. This is your specific decision. And so we're very glad to see that. And when you think about it, it's actually a result of your spiritual progress. And so you've been studying for about a year or so, and you know that when you look back over that year, near the beginning, you probably started to realize that this is not about just learning Bible facts, but rather this is more about developing qualities of the heart. And so you've been able to develop those qualities. So you've developed hope and faith and love and joy. And so now by your decision to serve Jehovah, to make a dedication to Jehovah, we know that you're not making a dedication to a volunteer work. It's not to a ministry, but rather it's to a person, Jehovah God. And so this is a special day. And so in your copy of Organized to Do Jehovah's Will, we want you to record this date. Sunday, April 28, 2013. So write that down in the front of your book. Really, baptism is just the beginning. It's just like a wedding. When we get married, the wedding is just the beginning. And the incredible thing about a marriage vow is that it allows us to start a family. And the same is with our dedication to Jehovah. It allows us to become part of Jehovah's universal family. And so we know that in a good marriage, love and attachment grow and they deepen over time. And so your bond with Jehovah will grow and deepen with time. As we know, Jehovah's put time indefinite into our hearts. So we're going to serve Jehovah for centuries on into the future. And so what a blessing it is to draw close to him. And so you might be wondering, well, how do I live up to my dedication? How can I make it a success? And so we're going to consider three ways that you can live up to your dedication. So let's start with the first one. Stay close to Jehovah's organization. You always want to remember, Jake, that you are one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And so then, Jehovah's name is involved. And the importance of that was expressed early on. If we were to take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 20, this will take us right back to the time of the Ten Commandments. So early on, Jehovah made this point. And if you look at verse 7 there, you notice what it says, Jake? It says, you must not take up the name of Jehovah your God in a worthless way. For Jehovah will not leave the one unpunished who takes up his name in a worthless way. So at the start of the verse there, it says, you must not take up. So that expression, to take up, actually means to lift up or to carry. And so what it's actually saying here is, you must not carry the name of Jehovah in a worthless way. And so, you know, there's so many different things that we carry. And depending on our viewpoint of the item, will affect our attitude to how we carry it. So, for example, if we were to take a travel mug, there's nothing really about a travel mug that impels us to be careful with it. The only time we're careful with a travel mug is when we get a refill at Tim Hortons. But after that, you can bang it, scratch it, scrape it, toss it, and you know it's still going to be good. But don't treat Jehovah's name like that. Instead, treat it like a fine china, like a teacup. Just the nature of this cup impels us to be careful. We hold it carefully. We handle it carefully. And so it reminds us that it's fragile, right? And so Jehovah has feelings. And if we were to carry his name in a bad way or do something that reflected badly on it, well, we know we'd hurt Jehovah's feelings. And we don't want to do that. But rather, we want to be very careful with Jehovah's name, carry it well, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And while you're doing that, remember that you're not serving Jehovah alone. And so we want to encourage you to stay united at heart with your brothers and sisters. Become actively involved in the congregation and participate. So, for example, get involved in the theocratic school or the ministry and endeavor to comment at meetings and make expressions of your faith. And when it comes to opportunities where we can share in maintaining the Kingdom Hall, we'll share in that and endeavor to participate and be a part of it. Additionally, if problems should arise between brothers, endeavor to handle matters Jehovah's way. Do whatever you can to maintain peace within the congregation. And you know, Satan would like us to think that if we stumble, that we should just give up. But you see, that's not how it works in Jehovah's family. Jehovah has provided so many things to help us to maintain our dedication. And one of those things is the elders in the congregation. And so their job is to help us to maintain our dedication and to stay within Jehovah's family. So don't ever let fear or pride or anything like that cause you to hold back from getting to know the elders and working closely with them and helping you to maintain your dedication. So what's the second thing we can do? Well, the second thing is to take care of your figurative heart. You know, taking care of his figurative heart was very important to Christ Jesus. And so imagine just after Jesus was baptized, and right away he goes into the wilderness. And what did he do there? He spent 40 days in the wilderness. And no doubt while he was there, he was meditating on God's word. And he was thinking through what God's will was for him and the things that he needed to do. And so you can picture Jesus there in the wilderness, and maybe he even has some scrolls with him. And he's looking through them, he's reading, pondering, and meditating on them. And one of the scriptures that he may have meditated on was no doubt this one here in Deuteronomy. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so in this passage, here Jesus, he's reading about Jehovah's dealings with the Israelites. And here they were in the wilderness, and Jehovah fed them. He provided the manna for them. And in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, you'll notice it says, halfway down, it says, in order to make you know that not by bread alone does man live, but by every expression of Jehovah's mouth does man live. And so you can see Jesus meditating on that, thinking about spiritual things, reading God's word, and thinking about how it applies to him personally. Yet Jesus is the Word. He is the one whom Jehovah used to transmit the scriptures through the angels down to the Bible writers for our benefit. And so if the Word needed to meditate on the scriptures, then how much more so do we need to do that as well? So for example, here's a scripture we can meditate on. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. There in Luke 21, let's have a look at verse 34. And it says, "But pay attention to yourselves, that your hearts never become weighed down with overeating and heavy drinking and anxieties of life, and suddenly that day be instantly upon you." So when you look at this verse, what is it that stands out foremost in your mind? You know, many times when we look at this, it's often the anxieties of life part that seems to stand out. But really, when you look at the start of the verse, the part that should stand out is your hearts. Pay attention to your hearts that they never become weighed down. And so don't let excesses or stresses cause your heart to get bogged down. Don't allow love for the world to crowd out love for Jehovah. You know, Satan, he wants to steal your heart away from Jehovah, but don't let him do that. Satan will try to get us to desire things that we don't even need. But if you love Jehovah, you can be certain that he will look after you and care for you. So much so that just look at what this scripture says. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Let's take a look at that. So in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it says, "Now to the one who can, according to his power which is operating in us, do more than superabundantly beyond all the things we ask or conceive." So it reminds us there that, first of all, Jehovah is the one who can. And he uses his Holy Spirit, Jake, operating in you to give you the strength and the help that you need. And so we know that Jehovah is generous with his Spirit. And that's really expressed here as well, because it doesn't say that he provides a Spirit. He abundantly provides a Spirit. And even more than abundantly, you see what it says there? He super abundantly provides his Spirit. And if that wasn't enough, Jehovah had the Bible writers say, do more than super abundantly. And so that's what we can expect from Jehovah. So Jake, pray incessantly from your heart. And trust that Jehovah will give you the strength and the Spirit that you need at the right time. And ask Jehovah for his Spirit. Petition him for that. And the outline from the faithful slave makes this comment. It says, respond to its leadings. Jehovah's Spirit gives us direction. And so, for example, maybe we've worked hard all day. And if we come to the end of the day, it's meeting night, we're completely drained. And we think, well, I just can't get to the meeting tonight. But then that Spirit starts working with us, doesn't it? We start thinking about it, and we think, well, you know, maybe I'll go. And we go to the meeting, and what happens? Well, we have the association with our brothers, Jehovah's Spirit is there, and what happens? All that tiredness is forgotten. And it's replaced by joy, because it's a fruitage of Jehovah's Spirit. Or, for example, There's times when we see a brother or sister in need that we can help. And if you recall, when we had our zone visit, Brother Mulchin talked about generosity. And he said that when we're generous, it takes faith in the fact that Jehovah will at some future time use his spirit to direct one of his servants to give us the help we need in return. And so what a blessing it is to have Jehovah's direction. And so if we see our brother in need, that could be Jehovah directing us to help them and encourage them in whatever way we can. But you know, sometimes we can get downhearted, but don't ever feel that way. Turn to Jehovah for support. And should you ever have negative feelings, crowd them out. Crowd them out with good thoughts. And like Jesus, endeavor to read Jehovah's word daily. Let's take a look at a scripture that encourages us to do that, and that's in its Psalm 1. And Jake, I want you to take notice of the first word in the Psalms. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1. The first word in all the Psalms is happy. So this is a recipe for happiness. And so what does it say? It says, happy is the man that has not walked in the counsel of the wicked ones, and in the ways of sinners has not stood, and in the seat of ridiculers has not sat. But it says, his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and in his law he reads in an undertone day and night. And he will certainly become like a tree planted by streams of water that gives its own fruit in its season, and the foliage of which does not wither, and everything he does will succeed. So this is a recipe for happiness and success, spiritual success. And so when a storm blows through, sometimes it knocks out some trees. But it doesn't take every tree down. There's some trees that remain standing. And why is that? It's because those trees, their roots go very deep. And they reach down to a water source. And so those trees have developed a solid trunk. And their roots go deep into the ground. And so this scripture is encouraging you to establish deep roots in the truth. And when you do that, it will protect you from failing. And it will help you to remain close to Jehovah as your friend. So prayerfully take Bible principles to heart and endeavor to apply them. They're not too difficult for us, but they're just what we need at the right time. And so associate closely with the brothers and sisters in the congregation and endeavor to keep your family worship program regular. And so I know you're a single brother, and so keep your personal family worship night regular. The third thing that we can do is to rely on Jehovah when we face trials. You know, Satan doesn't share the joy that we have today. There was no joy in him when he saw Jesus get baptized either. In fact, Satan wanted to take that joy away. So what did he do? Well, let's take a look at Luke chapter 4. And you see what happened? In verse 3 and 4, it says, at this the devil said to him, if you are a son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus replied to him, it is written, man must not live by bread alone. How glad Jesus was to have meditated on God's word. Because it gave him what he needed at that particular time, and it allowed him to stand firm against Satan. So don't ever let Satan rob you of your joy, Jake. Remain firm. Stand firm in the faith. And you know, the scripture in James 4 and 7 tells us that if we oppose the devil, he will flee from us. So you could see Satan, he's looking at Jesus, tempting him, and as he goes through all the temptations, what happens? Well, at the end, Satan looks up and he sees the angels. And he looks up a little farther and he sees Jehovah. And what's he thinking? He's thinking, I got to get out of here. And so if you stand firm, Jehovah will give you that backing as well. Now notice verse 13. It says, so the devil, having concluded all the temptation, retired from him until another convenient time. And so we know Satan will leave. And so he comes back at another time. But what will strengthen us? What will strengthen you, Jake, to remain faithful? You know what it is? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. Let's have a look at that. Now, as we're reading this, I want you to notice the word your. And so it says, but take your stand against him solid in the faith, knowing that the same things in the way of sufferings are being accomplished in the entire association of your brothers in the world. And so he says, take your stand. And when you do that, you are joining your brothers and sisters who are also taking their stand. And so what does it say there? It says that we are accomplishing something. We're standing firm, and that's a huge accomplishment, and you'll be able to join with all of your faithful brothers and sisters in doing the same thing. Satan tries to use our weaknesses against us, and sometimes we do make mistakes, but don't ever let mistakes stop you. Learn from them and move on. And endeavor to make your weakness your strength and stick close to Jehovah. You know, that's exactly what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah made this expression at Nehemiah 8 and 10 that the joy of Jehovah was his stronghold. And wasn't that the same with Jesus? He said, for the joy that is set before him, he endured a torture stake. So keep that joy firmly focused. And that joy will protect you. It will help you. It will be Jehovah's way of helping protect you from even committing a major sin. Look at this assurance. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Let's have a look at that. So here's a wonderful, comforting scripture. And as we read it, notice the word you. No temptation has taken you, except what is common to men. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But along with the temptation, he will also make the way out in order for you to be able to endure it. So you see what happens here? It's very personal. When we give our heart to Jehovah, well, he is personally interested in us. And so when we face a temptation, a difficulty, he's personally interested in helping us. And he will make the way out so that we can endure it. So always remember that. Always look to Jehovah for strength. And remember that not even Jesus could stand firm without Jehovah's help. So don't ever feel that you have to stand on your own. It takes Jehovah's help, and Jehovah will give that to you. So be courageous and be strong-hearted in your service to Jehovah. You know, in our weekly meetings, we've been learning a lot about Jeremiah, and there's a very nice scripture that we learn from Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 20. And I'd like you to see the comments that Jeremiah makes here. In verse 9, in Jeremiah chapter 20, it says, look how Jeremiah was feeling. It says, and I said, I'm not going to make mention of him, and I shall speak no more in his name. Sometimes we can feel that way, too, about our ministry. And we don't know specifically what it was that made Jeremiah feel that way. Perhaps it was the opposition. Perhaps frustration. Perhaps even his own limited abilities made him feel that he didn't want to speak anymore. But look at what changed. It says, "And in my heart, it proved to be like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I got tired of holding it in, and I was unable to endure it." So, let the truth sink into your heart and put your heart into your ministry. We know that when we go out in the territory, we're not there just to place magazines. We're out there in the ministry to help people learn about Jehovah. We're there to speak about him and his purposes. And we have the goal of helping others to learn about him the way we have and help them enjoy the same wonderful benefits and blessings. And so, Jake, I want to commend you because already I understand you have a Bible study. You're working closely with him to help him learn the truth as well. So I want you to keep that up. And as you reflect on Bible characters, remember what it is that gave them a real meaningful purpose in their lives. Like, for example, Luke. If I say Luke, what do you think of? Well, you probably think of an evangelizer, one who was a Bible writer. But Luke was also a physician. So his first career was the spiritual one. Or what about Daniel? You think about Daniel, the angel came down to visit him and gave him the assurance that he was approved by God, that he was agreeable to Jehovah's heart. But Daniel was a Babylonian court official. That was his secular career. But we remember him for his spiritual career. So endeavor to do the same thing. Make sure that people know you for your spiritual career and your dedication to Jehovah. And we can also learn from those who have served Jehovah wholeheartedly in our own congregation, our older ones, brothers and sisters that have served Jehovah for a long time. Talk to them. Find out what's helped them, what's sustained them and helped them in their service. And we know that with Jehovah's help, you will be able to do the same. And so what did we learn today? Well, we learned how we can live up to our dedication. We learned that we need to stay close to Jehovah's family. And we also learned that we want to take care of our figurative heart. And the third thing we want to do is to rely on Jehovah when we face trials. And so we're absolutely confident, Jake, that you will go on praising Jehovah and maintaining your dedication to him forever. So this brings us to the point in our discussion where we're going to invite you to make a public declaration of your faith. And so we'd like to invite you to stand for just a moment. And we're going to ask you two questions. And so this is the one chance where you get to yell out as loud as you can. And we want the ones in the back row to hear your answer. So our first question is, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah to do his will? Your answer. The second question is, do you understand that your dedication and baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Excellent. Your clear, affirmative answers to these questions indicate that you are qualified for baptism as an ordained minister of Jehovah God. So at this point, it would be appropriate that we approach Jehovah in prayer. So let's do that. Jehovah, our kind and loving Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be here today, to be instructed by you and to gather with our brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that here we have a baptismal candidate who has determined to give you their heart. And so, Father, we pray for your spirit and blessing to be with Jake as he endeavors to serve you faithfully and to live up to his dedication. And we know, Father, that we don't do this on our own. We know that we have to depend upon you and that we can depend upon you. And you've always helped your faithful servants in the past. So please bless our young brother here. May you give him the strength. And may you also help each and every one of us to remember how we can live up to our dedication as well. None of us can do it on our own, Father. And so we put our trust and our determination in you to help us to be successful. May we thank you for these kind blessings and thank you for this spiritual feast we're enjoying today. And may we leave all these matters in your care, asking for forgiveness of our errors through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.